The Bible Study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
Good morning and welcome to the Bible Study here on listener-supported KFUO Radio. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
The stars at night are big and bright.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Well, there you go. Pastor Tom Hendrick is back. Now, you know this. We have only selected a handful, a very small number of very special friends for KFUO to have theme music whenever they arrive for the Bible study. I think Dr. Marty Noland is the other one, so you may be in two.
But what about Reverend Keith Weiss?
Not so much.
He hasn't hit that level yet.
He needs to come more frequently.
I see.
He needs to come a little bit more frequently.
And that would certainly be a blessing because he is such a good person. When I listen to him on air, great presentation and good information too.
He is a wonderful teacher. Does very good at the questions I throw at him, usually from way out in left field somewhere.
Yeah,
and he fields them pretty well. He's a good guy.
He is very knowledgeable, very very articulate.
So how are you? I'm tired. You have brought your good lady wife with you this morning.
I'm tired. We've now transitioned into the summer, but quite frankly, the summer no longer holds the respite that it once did.
The who?
The time of rest and relaxation.
Are you talking King James English now?
Well, that's one of the commentaries I'm using today. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a couple of exciting things going on. First and foremost is that my lovely young bride and I we'll celebrate our 40th wedding anniversary a week from this Friday.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, in this day and age, that is no slight accomplishment.
Well, it's all special by the grace of God and by the wonderful fortitude of Sally and her ability to put up with me over all these years. And it's a real blessing. We're going to have a special renewal of our vows on Friday night.
Really?
At our church. Yep.
Will you say yes?
Yeah,
there you go.
Boy, my heart skipped a beat or two there, you know?
Well, always keep him guessing.
Yeah.
That's what my wife does.
And then we're going to have an open house reception on Saturday for friends of the community, the congregation.
And this, of course, is at Emmanuel in Perryville.
Well,
right?
That's correct. Yeah. The renewal of vows will be in the sanctuary at 6 o'clock on Friday evening. Anybody who might be in the area that would like to attend, they're welcome to do so. And then Saturday's event will be at our school from 2 to 4 in the afternoon. And, it's just a time to mark the blessings that God has given us with great praise and thanksgiving. This journey we've traveled together actually goes beyond the 40 years of formal marriage because we had a courtship of about 6 years preceding it.
Wow.
And,
That lasted almost as long as the plagues.
Well, that's true, yeah. And ironically, we did not have a formal wedding per se. I was in the Army at the time. We didn't elope, but I was out in California, and when we finally decided after two disrupted engagements, the third engagement took, and we decided we're not going to give it time for it to get disrupted, so we jumped to marriage right after Sally finished teaching at Redeemer in Austin, and she flew out to California, and we got married, and the rest, as they say, is history.
So, in other words, you hung around. You just wouldn't leave. So she figured, what the heck, may as well marry you anyway.
Is that the way it
He's
is?
He's always going to be here.
Is that the way it was? She's shaking her head, yes.
Now,
the second thing is, and I want to put in a plug for our Perry County Lutheran Chorale.
Well, do that.
It is a small, fledgling, but good group of singers, 16, something like that, made up of Lutherans from Perry County and surrounding areas. And they're going to be taking a tour this summer, as they did last summer. In fact, they were here on campus earlier this year, I think. Isn't that right, Sally?
We did promote something for them,
That's right. Oh, beautiful job, too, that y'all did. Thank you. Thank you. And it was your voice doing it, by the way.
I think so.
Yep. Well, they're
in spite of that, they still showed up.
They're headed up. Their destination is Fort Wayne, Indiana. But on the way, they're going to pass through Indianapolis, Indiana. And that's what I'm coming to.
All right.
They need a place to sing on Friday night, June...
Sunday night.
Oh, Sunday night. What's the date?
June 24th.
If there's a congregation in or about Indianapolis, Indiana, that would love to host a 16-member chorale, all they're asking for is an hour to share God's love through music, a wide variety of genres, and maybe a light meal before the concert and overnight housing with, you know, a tent in the backyard.
If someone is listening or they pick this up by stream, say, a day or two from now, there's still some time to put this together. Do you want to have them call you at the church?
Have them call Sally at our home phone. Should I give it now?
Well, I don't know. A lot of folks are listening.
Okay.
You're a star here.
Okay,
you
here
may
it
get
is.
All kinds of folks calling.
573-547-5374. 573-547-5374. And if we're not there, leave a message on the answering machine. Sally will return the call. And, boy, we would just be grateful if somebody would pick up on that.
And if they miss that number, they can always track you down at Emmanuel and Perry.
That's correct.
That's
yes,
another way to
absolutely.
Do it.
Absolutely.
Well, yep. I'll tell you what. I know what you're doing here. You don't want to talk about boils.
You just don't want to talk about boils this morning. Does it have to do with the water boil that's in southern Illinois right now?
Did that happen again?
Is it again?
It
I just saw it in the newspaper this morning. You know, we have new lines being put in.
Fiber optic?
Thank you. Fiber optic lines being put in Perry County, and they busted a main water line in the north part of the county recently, so they were on.
Well, you shouldn't have put it in their way.
Well, that's right. So they too were on a water boil restriction for a few days. But I don't know. Is that the kind of boil we're talking about?
I don't know. If it is, if you're the pastor, if that's what you want, I'll follow your lead.
You're too easy, Roland.
I'm not here to direct
anything.
You know what?
Remember what I told you before we went on air? I'm off today. You're the one who's going to have to run this show today.
You did say that.
Yep,
So in that case, pray for us, please.
Okay. Okay. In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, have mercy on us. Keep us in the one true faith, steadfast in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. When we stray, Lord, bring us back. Don't let it hurt too much. But at the same time, get our attention. Help us, Lord, to be truly repentant on a daily basis and to turn to you for forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life. To that end, bless our study, our discussion of this particular Bible text today as we look to see what you have there for us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Hendrick's assignment this morning, Exodus chapter 9, verses 8 to 35. We get two more plagues in today. But before we begin, I pulled out an old story. I wanted to get your reaction to this.
An old story for an old man. Is that it?
Well, not quite as old. This is only 2 years old. And I did a program on this with Warren Wirth from down at Good Shepherd.
Good friend of mine, yes.
You know, from the he used morning show. He does all kinds. Anything that has to do with creation, the Creation
right.
Club is,
yep.
is what he does. This is the headline that came out of the UK Telegraph back in 2010. Almost 2 years to the day. It was May of 2010. Biblical plagues really happened, say scientists. But, you know, people may have forgotten about this story, but do you know why the biblical plagues happened?
No, why?
Global warming.
Ah, really?
Not the hand of God.
Whoa.
Global warming.
You know, is there a salient quote in there somewhere?
A climatologist said that studying ancient climate records, they discovered a shift in the climate area around Ramesses' second reign. They studied stalagmites in the caves of Egypt. They found that Ramesses' reign coincided with a warm, wet climate, but when the climate switched to a very dry period rapidly and suddenly, and rising temperatures could have caused the Nile to dry up, turning the fast-flowing river that was Egypt's lifeline into a slow and muddy water course these conditions could have been perfect for the arrival of the first plague, which means blood and so on.
You know, it's interesting.
But I will throw you this one more quote. And then they actually went to someone who seemed to be a reasonably theologically oriented individual. The fellow's name is Dr. Robert Miller, who teaches Old Testament at Catholic University. He says, "I'm reluctant to come up with natural causes for all of the plagues. The problem with the naturalistic explanations is that they lose the whole point. And the whole point is that you didn't come out of Egypt by natural causes, you came out by the hand of God." So a small voice of reason at the end of a very, very, very long story.
Well, it's interesting, too. When I went to the seminary, I began in 1974. Now, people who have been around for a while right away know the historical context. The walkout was in 1974. That was a result of a number of years of the historical critical method that had found its way into our church body and into mainline Christianity in America in general. And of course, one of the things of the historical critical method was allowing reason to overcome revelation, allowing reason to explain away divine revelation. And it had direct impact. I'm sure you've probably had some others on already who have talked about this. It had direct impact on the plagues. I recall already in junior college having a professor in our Concordia Lutheran College in Austin who taught us that the plagues were simply natural occurrences whose timing was used by God for these. They weren't actually God miracle things or God actions, but they were just natural occurrences. Well, no. I mean, Scripture's pretty clear, isn't it? That God caused these things to happen for a very good purpose. But the whole point is, as you were reading in your article, it was just already back then and today as well, people trying to explain away divine authority, divine revelation, divine miracles, divine substance. Do away with God. Because as long as we can do away with God, then who becomes our God? We do. We do. Mm. And I'm no longer under authority or I'm not answerable. I'm not accountable. I don't have a responsibility to someone greater than me. And what we see that leads to, by the way, is simply chaos. Chaos. And that's where we're headed.
And of course, that story details your two plagues, the boils and the hail. What happened was some 400 miles away, they claim, a volcano blew its top. Mm-hmm. And first you had sort of the acidic gases that came down, and that caused the skin disorders. And then, the pumice, whatever else was being spit up by the volcano, eventually came down in the form of hail.
Hail the gangs all here.
Now, I have searched high and low in our text for today. I cannot find a volcano anywhere.
Well, when you think about that, how does that stand? Isn't a volcano a hot thing?
Yeah.
So how then does that result in hail cold? In that frozen particles of ice?
Yeah.
Where's the reason to all of this?
Well, I could proffer an answer for you, which is it's not reasonable at all.
Yeah.
But see, the problem is we're cross-eyed. We see things differently as Christians.
Because we see it through the cross.
Right.
Exactly right. And what better way to see it? You know, my life is now advancing on. I'm in my mid-60s now, which means...
You're beating a theme here today, aren't you?
Say it again?
You're beating a theme here.
Whoa!
Today,
the better part, the vast majority of my life is behind me, which means I'm coming closer and closer to the day of entering eternal glory with Jesus in heaven.
Mm.
And as I do so, I become ever more aware of the reality of the cross, its significance, its blessing, and the one who hung on it for us, Jesus Christ. I just yesterday attended another funeral. Pastor Marks, and I may have mentioned this before, Pastor Marks and I attempt to attend the funerals of family members of our congregation as a way of giving pastoral support and encouragement to our members, which I did yesterday. And once again, I was reminded of the glory of living and the glory of dying. This particular person had an obvious faith in Jesus Christ and exemplified that faith by the way she lived. Her living didn't gain her eternal life. That was given her. But her living exemplified the knowledge, the trust, the assurance of the eternal life she had. And that becomes ever more real with each passing day as we move forward in life.
It's the Bible Study, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email also, kfuo at kfuo.org. Exodus 9, verses 8 to 35 today, beginning at verse 8.
Take it away.
Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Take handfuls of soot from a furnace and have Moses toss it into the air in the presence of Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over the whole land of Egypt, and festering boils will break out on people and animals throughout the land." So they took soot from a furnace and stood before Pharaoh. Moses tossed it into the air, and festering boils broke out on people and animals. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils that were on them and on all the Egyptians. Let's pause there for a moment. So the first three plagues, kind of annoying. The second three plagues, kind of irritating. And then the last three plagues...
personal.
And
now
deadly.
We're getting personal.
Yeah.
Physically personal. Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, you are.
And we see it ever as we're now getting into the final plagues, and it's moving closer and closer to what we in hindsight know happened, where it finally came to the death of the firstborn. And it's a kind of a prelude, if you will.
Yeah.
I know you're a fan of the People's Bible Commentary, as I am. There you go, okay. But I'm also a fan of popular commentary of the Bible by Paul E. Kretzmann.
Right.
Okay. May I, I know you've got some things you want to go for here, but may I just share a couple of quotes from these two that I highlighted? Notice that this plague happened without advance warning. Even the magicians were afflicted with these boils. This was the first disaster to strike the bodies of people directly. This time, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. The prophetic words of chapter 4, verse 21 were now fulfilled. Pharaoh's eternal doom was now sealed.
Hmm.
Now, what I really enjoyed about Kretzmann's commentary was the description of these things. We may want to have the children move out of the hearing right now. Or get this first of all. A person who is hardened against God will also lose his feeling of affection toward his fellow men.
Hmm.
Okay, now that's kind of a prelude to all of this. And we'll see how that plays out with Pharaoh. Inflammatory pustules or ulcers, painful boils and sores, probably on the order of smallpox, and inflammation coming to a head in pustules filled with a watery fluid. The Egyptian sorcerers were not even able to protect themselves against the ulcerous inflammation. Finally, if a sinner consistently rejects repentance and a change of heart, the Lord finally inflicts this, I love this word, obduracy upon him as a curse. Now, how many of us use that word on a daily basis? To have an obdurate heart means a heart that is just absolutely rebelliously hardened against God. As a child, I was sharing with Sally on the way up here, as a child I remember my father having a boil, and in those days we didn't go to the doctor with those things. We self-treated.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he would sterilize the area with alcohol, then he would sterilize the sewing needle with a flame, and then he'd go to work. And when he got to a certain point, we had a volcano eruption.
Uh-huh.
You
sure,
know?
Sure, sure.
The fluid, the pus, all the poison would literally spurt out. It was painful, too.
I can imagine.
It was painful. Now, not to turn people away with these descriptions, but let's catch a glimpse of what's going on here.
You really have to know what they're experiencing.
That's right. And and what did it say here? That they covered their bodies. So it wasn't just one or two boils. It was all over them. It was terrible stuff. In the New Testament, there's a situation, and I'm a little vague on it right now, where there was a man who had sores all over his body. Or is that in the Old Testament? I forget where. But he tried to get relief by scraping them with
that
broken...
That would be Job.
Thank you. Okay. You see where I am this morning. Okay. And yet he couldn't get relief even from that.
Hmm.
You know? This had to have been a terrible, terrible thing.
What about, by extension, if you look at the New Testament, whenever you encounter someone that has any kind of a skin disorder, whether it's boils or what they call leprosy, it's symbolic of what?
Well, it's obviously symbolic of the sinful disruption of God's holy creation.
Which means they're unclean, right?
Unclean. Yeah. Unclean. When sin came into the world, when sin was ushered into the world with our forefather Adam and his wife Eve, the whole perfect creation of God became unclean. Everything, by the way, not just people, animals, nature, the whole mess became unclean. And this, as you pointed to it, this physical malady that people dealt with then, and we continue to deal with today. The big one today is heart disease and cancer.
Yeah.
It's all a evidence of the uncleanness of sin. Not that a person has committed a sin that causes the particular thing to happen, but sin has broken God's holy creation, and now we suffer. Now, if there is a good side to suffering, and there is, by the way, it's this. What God was attempting to do with Pharaoh was to turn him to repentance. We ought to see our suffering today as a call to repentance. I believe that God allows suffering today in order to get us to pray more earnestly, frequently, and boldly to Him. Remember what the old catechism said, and to some degree the new one says it also, prayer is an act of worship. Why does God want us to pray to Him? Because He desires to be worshipped. And not only does He desire, He deserves it. He loves it when we worship Him. And if we don't worship Him, if you will, on our own, He is going to get us to our knees to worship Him. And such is what He does with inflictions of this sort and was attempting to do with Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Now, there's another type of an angle to all this. Who was on the sideline watching all this going on? The Israelites.
Well, yeah, the Hebrews were there.
That's right.
Yeah.
But it wasn't affecting them, was it?
Now, there's an interesting dichotomy. You have the clean and the unclean.
Okay, but what made them exempt from it?
Because God said they were.
And now we're getting to a very important point here. Very important point. What is the definition of grace? What's the definition of mercy? Grace is giving someone something they don't deserve. Mercy is withholding from someone what they do deserve. Did the Israelites have a clean slate?
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah.
But what they had was God's favor in that they were the chosen people, not because they were a good people or a great people. He made that very clear. You are a no people. But I chose you so that I get the glory as the Messiah came through that that genetic code that came through the Israelites and eventually arriving at the birth of Jesus. Now, they witnessed what was going on. And in witnessing such, I believe they also got the message, we'd better stay on the straight and narrow.
Yes.
But at the same time, now remember too, how many years they had been in Egypt? Many years.
400 some odd years.
And so they had pretty much gotten mixed in with the Egyptians, with their culture, even to a large degree their religion. And God, through these plagues, was not only inflicting the Egyptians, He was, as you said earlier, He was working to separate His people out from them so that then when they finally did get released, they would, well, hopefully go the straight and narrow, which that's a whole other story you'll get to later on in Exodus.
Isn't it interesting that this goes on for centuries even after this, where he separates his people out.
Yeah.
And they spend the rest of their time trying to be just like everybody
Absolutely.
Else.
Absolutely. Isn't that ironic?
Why? Sounds kind of contemporary,
ironic.
Doesn't it?
Oh, it's nothing changes, does it?
No, it doesn't. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. KFUO at KFUO.org. Pastor Tom Handrick and his wife are here. He serves at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Perryville, Missouri, the creche.
The manger.
The manger.
Of the Missouri
you always
Synod.
Change that on me.
Well, you know, we've got to get the alliteration in there.
The break's a great time to call in. We'll be back after a few short announcements. Stick around.
Servanthood is a core value of Concordia Seminary. To be a servant is alien to so many people in our society. Even some clergy take on authoritarian airs. But Jesus, Son of God and Lord of all, came as a servant. We want Concordia graduates to model servanthood to their congregations and to their communities. Servanthood, that's the Christian way.
KFUO AM officially went on the air December 14, 1924. The first broadcast originated from the attic of the old seminary building on South Jefferson in St. Louis. 3 years later, we moved to our current location with our dedication on May 29, 1927. This year, May 29th, marks our 85th anniversary of broadcasting from this historic building at 85 Founders Lane on the campus of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, making us the longest continually operating broadcast studio in the world. Come celebrate this milestone with us during an open house on Tuesday, May 29th, anytime between 10 a.m. and 2. Enjoy punch, cake, and visit with KFUO staff. Also, visit our KFUO History Museum right here in this historic building. Again, come celebrate the 85th anniversary of the world's oldest continually operating broadcast studio on May 29th with your friends at KFUO Radio. 85 years at 85 Founders Lane on 850 AM.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? With its 176 verses, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. Those among us who come from what we would call a high view of the authority of Scripture are inclined to point out that each of these verses mentions God's Word in one way or another. But maybe there's more to this psalm than teaching about the reliability of the written word. The psalm was composed deliberately. There are 22 stanzas, 8 verses apiece, and each verse within the stanzas begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Hence, verses 1 through 8 each begin with the first letter of that alphabet, Aleph. Verses 9 through 16 begin with Beth, and so on. Was this clever writing, or a way of helping those who recited these verses to memorize them? The Scottish and Irish writers called Celts claim that the Jews, as they returned home from 1,000 miles away in Babylon, moved on their journey, stopping to pray 176 times each day. Each stop, they recited verses from this psalm. One writer claims that this journey took a full 365 days, describing the people's journey from hell to heaven, from Babylon to the Promised Land. So the psalmist begins, "Blessed are those whose way is blameless, whose walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes." I am proposing that we also follow this journey for 22 days, following each stanza from the Hebrew alphabet. May we learn much from this ancient pilgrimage song. Let's pray about it. Lord, how easy it is to become distracted from following where you would lead us. Teach us from the words of this psalm that your word truly is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. For we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus, the one to whom scriptures bear witness. Amen.
Good morning and welcome back to the Bible Study here on listener-supported KFUO Radio. Pastor Tom Handrick is our guest this morning, and I apologize. I neglected to ask where lunch is today.
You know, we haven't decided yet. I think it's a hamburger place. What's it called, Sally? Stratford or something like that in Fenton.
Oh, the Stratford Inn, I guess.
Yes. Yeah, that's it.
Right. Right across. Now, we say this a lot in St. Louis. Right across from where the Chrysler plant used to be.
Used to be.
We talk about where all kinds of things are close to where something used to be.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, the world's ever-changing, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Yep.
Well, you know, on to happier things. Let's talk a little bit more about plagues, shall we?
Okay.
We had a delightful conversation during the break.
But won't that bring a smile to our faces and happiness to our hearts?
Now, why would plagues do that, Pastor?
Because they turn us to repentance, to look to Jesus Christ for salvation, and why don't you answer that question?
I'll reserve that for the resident expert who we invite to sit in your chair every day.
God has an amazing way of getting through to us humans. We humans oftentimes do not listen to divine reason.
I get it. That's why we had to put hot sauce on a certain thing that my dog liked to chew on.
Okay.
To convince him
Great.
Not to chew on.
Not that we're dogs, but, you know, they're right. God is always looking out for our welfare, our safety, our preservation. It is His desire that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But to get that to happen, he sometimes has to resort to desperate means.
But, you know, Lumpy was determined. He kept chewing on it anyway.
He did.
Oh, yeah.
And then what we do, go to the water dish and gulp water. Then you have to let him out and let him in. And
We had to, seek other means, ultimately, because the hot sauce didn't work. Boy, that sounds very familiar, doesn't it? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Buzzing for me during the break that there was a little bit of a hiccup with the phone line. We had a power outage in the middle of the morning, yesterday morning, and we're still dealing with a couple of those things. So if you try to get in during the first half of the program, you certainly can now. The phone lines, I am assured, are absolutely operational again. Just a couple quick observations. We'll go to a couple of phone callers and then back to our text. If you remember, Pastor Handrick, in some of the earlier verses, we saw the magicians of Egypt trying to duplicate some of the plagues.
Sure, sure.
Do you notice this is one they don't try and duplicate?
That's right, that's right. In fact,
because it affects them too.
That's right. It rendered them powerless. Because it was personal.
Yeah.
It you're right. It affected them too. I loved what was said on your show maybe 2 days ago when my good friend John Lukumsky was here.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's when it was.
Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah, when the magicians duplicated the frogs plague. Why would they want to increase the amount of frogs, you know?
Right.
Or other times too. But it wasn't about that. It was about them showing we have the same power as God does. Well, God is saying, you may think that now, but the time's going to come when you realize, no, you don't.
You're going to wish for frogs.
That's right.
You're going to wish
for
flies.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's read a little more of our text and go to the phones.
Good.
Picking up at verse 12, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said to Moses. Well, golly gee willikers, Batman. You know,
now,
have we not seen this several times before?
Yeah, and I know you've already covered this, but let's just cover it again. What does it mean to harden his heart? He gave him over to his obdurate, hard-hearted state of mind. And we read about that in Paul's letter to the Romans, where God gave them over to their utter sinfulness, which, by the way, in this day and age, is coming right around again. Same-sex marriage, all sorts of crass, gross stuff that is against God's design and will for mankind. And sometimes the only way to get through to society, to people, is by just giving them over to it and letting them wallow in the cesspool of their sin. I hope I'm not too blunt there.
No, I think we'll be seeing a lesson of that coming up in the wilderness when they say, give us quail. You want quail?
Yeah,
you want
exactly
quail?
Right.
It'll be coming out your ears. It'll be coming out your eyes. It'll be coming out everything.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. Larry, good morning. You're up with Pastor Handrick.
Good morning.
Hi, Larry.
Good morning there, Pastor. How are you?
I'm up and at 'em. One
up
foot in front of the other.
Okay. Right. Adding on to what the curse of the boil, you know, the the Easterners of that time, they worshiped the cow. So the cow dung, they would take and they would burn it. And the Eastern magicians, when they would want to pronounce a curse on someone, they would throw the cow dung, the ashes, on the people like that. So God turned the tables once again and took, Moses took the ashes from the furnace and caused the very thing that they used to cause an imprecation upon the people. He turned the tables and did the same thing. He took the ashes from what they had burnt up and threw it around, and it caused the boils.
Well, and it's interesting also to note, I don't remember where I read it, but there's some supposition that perhaps these furnaces were the very ones that were used to bake the bricks that the Israelites used in serving the Egyptians.
Symbolic of their affliction.
Absolutely,
and their bondage,
yeah. And now Moses is taking the ashes from these furnaces that were imposed on the Israelites and turning the tables on the Hebrew. Well, God is through his servant Moses. Yeah. Interesting and, stuff.
And you also mentioned the hardening of the heart. And when you mentioned that, I liken it to our baptism, and I go back to Genesis 6, verse 5. Man's thoughts are evil continually from his youth. And that is the means by which God brings us into the faith, baptism, and we're all born in that condition of hardening our hearts until God uses the wonderful means of baptism to bring us into his family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The rescue through that beautiful sacramental washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit.
For church bodies to overlook that passage in 1 Peter where it says, baptism doth now save us. That is just a passage that is wonderful, and that I just don't understand how they can, you know, go to the, as Nathan Metter once said, go to the cabinet of reason to overlook that passage.
Well, and when we understand why baptism doth now save us, it's because in baptism, the Holy Spirit unites us with Jesus Christ. His death becomes our death. His resurrection becomes our resurrection. His victory over sin, Satan, and death itself become our victory over sin, Satan, and death itself. So in baptism, we gain all of the blessings of mercy and grace that God has for us that he gained through Jesus Christ by being identified with him. By the way, in baptism, we're given a new name. Let's remember that. Christian, little Christ. Each of us is now plugged into the Christ as part of his mystical body, the church. And as we talk about this, I know yesterday, I think it was, you were talking about baptism and sponsorship and all, or the day before, how important it is that we realize that sponsorship, I wrote my master's thesis on this topic. In sponsorship, we have people who are helping parents ensure that their children are raised in the Christian faith. And in my research on sponsorship, I discovered that parents ought to take this so seriously that if they assign someone the role of sponsorship, they would even write them into their will to take care of their children at their death. Sponsorship evolved out of the early Christian church when Christians were being persecuted and executed right and left, and they provided for their children at that time. Now we fast forward to confirmation, and what do we do at confirmation? We confirm our baptismal covenant, the covenant that God made with us, and we say, whoa, now I know what it's all about, and this is great stuff, and we confirm it.
See how we Lutherans do there, Pastor? We go from boils to baptism. We cover the whole spectrum. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too, Larry. God bless you.
That is the way. Well, it's boils to
baptism.
I appreciate Larry's humor, but also it's an important observation he makes that we are always making the connection between the two testaments.
Yes.
We're not neglecting one for the sake of the other or because one is inconvenient.
Well,
and, the other
and
is
I know you and I have talked about this before, Roland, how important it is that we realize the Bible is a unified book. It's not two books that were pasted together. And that's the problem we have when we refer to the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is a book that is all about Jesus Christ from beginning to end.
All right, now we have to pick up the pace a little bit. We have Hail. You know, we have Hail. Hail, Hail, Hail.
The gang's all here.
Yeah.
How much of this are you going to read?
Pharaoh's Heart is... Well, I'm going to try and get most of it in here, but... You know, again, Pharaoh's Heart is hard. Kind of makes you wonder, as we're on the precipice of yet another plague, and this is only number seven. There's still three to come.
Right.
Okay. What's worse, an unbeliever who turns his back on God or a believer who turns his back on God?
Yes.
Yes. Well, see, I'm wondering because I'm thinking about Jesus weeping over Jerusalem, but I don't see any tears shed over Egypt.
Perhaps, okay, certainly not tears that we heard reported in Scripture, but God's heart breaks over the death of a sinner, meaning an unrepentant person. God desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus Christ died for all. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. We have all. In fact, I made this point in my sermon just 2 weeks ago, how important it is that we realize God's work of salvation was for all people. Now, the sad reality is the vast majority of the people either don't know about it or they choose to abandon it or deny it. But the reality is God's love knows no bounds. By the way, I know we've got to get on here because we're going to run out of time pretty soon. But notice a recurring statement in this account of the plagues. Then the Lord said. The Lord said. Then the Lord said. In our Sunday morning adult Bible class, we've begun using the word, the Hebrew word Yahweh, when Lord appears in all capitals. Because it's confusing to our English Western ears to just use the word Lord and not distinguish between uppercase or lowercase letters. Who is this Yahweh that's in conversation with Moses that is inflicting these plagues on the Egyptians? It's none other than Jesus Christ himself. Yahweh, which is a forerunner name of Jehovah, Joshua, Jesus, gives us a pretty good statement saying, you know, I want you to be with me, but if you're going to be hardened and rebel against me and do it unrepentantly, then I'm going to use you as an example for the world so that we can turn other people, hopefully, away from Satan and to sanctified relationship with me. It's all about salvation through Jesus.
Picking up at verse 13. Now, pay special attention, Pastor, if you will, to 15 and 16, because these really stand out in our text this morning. Then the Lord said to Moses, get up early in the morning, confront Pharaoh, and say to him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says, let my people go, so that they may worship me, or this time I will send the full force of my plagues against you and against your officials and your people, so you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For by now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth. But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. You still set yourself against my people and will not let them go. Therefore, at this time tomorrow, I will send the worst hailstorm that has ever fallen on Egypt from the day it was founded till now. Give an order now to bring your livestock and everything you have in the field to a place of shelter, because the hail will fall on every person and animal that has not been brought in and is still out in the field, and they will die. Those officials of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord hurried to bring their slaves and their livestock inside.
Please notice what's happening there. There are people among the Egyptians that are getting the message.
But those who ignored the word of the Lord left their slaves and livestock in the field. Well, at that point, verse 15 and 16. Why? This has got to be important, because this is the first time that God is giving Pharaoh an out, that he won't have to suffer the plague if he just listens to him.
Well, actually, he had that out all along.
Well, by letting the people go.
Correct.
But, I mean, this is a direct out saying.
There you go.
Okay.
Yes.
Hey, Dopey, you know what happens when it hails?
Yeah.
Don't stand outside.
Yeah. It's interesting. Again, I'm going to go back to our favorite book here.
Yeah.
This plague introduces the final group of three referred to previously, three plagues in which the Lord would strike with full fury, so that Pharaoh should know that there was no one like the God of Israel in all the earth. This storm came as a special act of God. It was not just a natural occurrence. It was a divinely ordained, a miraculously act of God inflicted for the purpose of getting Pharaoh's attention, even though God knew already that Pharaoh would just harden his heart and not turn to him.
And as you note, Pharaoh is deaf, but some of his officials are listening to what's going on. So when it says these men feared the Lord, literally they were afraid of God, or does it indicate, I mean, is this an indication that it was them coming to belief in the one true God, or them simply coming to realize the facts on the ground, which is when he says a plague is coming, it's coming?
Okay, now we've been through this enough, we should know by now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it could be both and. Doesn't God use the law to get our attention?
Sure.
And then the gospel is there to rescue and to soothe us. So also in the case of the Egyptians, they had come to realize this God is more powerful than our gods. This is the true God. Let's start listening and obeying. And through all of that, perhaps then the Holy Spirit worked through the Israelites to bring them to a knowledge of the grace of God and His mercy, and resulted in salvation.
See, this is interesting to me because it may be indicating that you have a condition where someone can listen to God, but still not believe in Him as the one true God.
Sure, and that's true. Satan himself acknowledges.
Well, that's right, the demons. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
A great statement here in the commentary. While at first this has the sound of repentance, we note at once that it had a condition attached to it. This time. What about all the other times, Pharaoh? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. I get frustrated, Roland, because as you indicated earlier, it the same thing is happening today. We are running headlong into deeper and deeper immorality in our society, in our culture, in our nation, in the world, to the point where now we have legalized the killing of unborn babies. To some degree, we condone the killing of older, infirm adults, euthanasia. We're moving now toward same-sex marriages, which is just flying in the face of God, because homosexual relationships put a stop to procreation. And God instituted marriage primarily for the purpose of procreation. And it's almost saying, like, no, we don't want that to continue on. We just want our own bodily, sexual, perverted desires to be satisfied. It's all about I, me, my in our society and culture today. We in the church, sadly, are becoming more and more influenced by culture and society than what we are doing to influence culture and society. And when I look at our congregations, no one in particular, but across the board, and you see the number of shacking up outside of marriages going on, sex being involved before marriage, support by some people for abortion, for euthanasia, for homosexual rights and all. And it's like, goodness, even in the church we're getting it wrong now. But that doesn't mean we give up. We don't give up. We continue to be that beacon of light in a very sin-darkened world that proclaims the light, Jesus Christ, as the hope and the certain of everlasting security.
Now, we have to cover two more points very quickly before we have to let you go, Pastor, because I know there's a burger waiting for you halfway across town. call me whatever you want, just don't call me late for supper.
There you go.
The old saying goes. Skipping ahead of the text a little bit, because Moses stretches out the staff towards the sky, the hail comes, everything is struck that's left out in the field, people and animals and slaves beaten down to the ground. And then Pharaoh summons Moses and Aaron in, and we pick up at 27. This time I have sinned, Pharaoh is saying to Moses. The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Pray to the Lord, for we have had enough thunder and hail. I will let you go. You don't have to stay any longer.
Right.
Finally.
Right.
But now, see, we've read ahead. We know there's three more plagues.
That's right. That's right.
So don't get too excited.
Well, and again, what kind of a repentance was that? It was a reaction to a condition that was unpleasant, but it wasn't a heart depth reaction.
Now, when Moses is summoned, now we know that from the text, the only place the hail does not fall is in the land of Goshen, mm-hmm. where the Hebrews are.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really say where Moses is while all this is going on.
But it did say, and I forget where it was, that the people were given fair warning.
Right.
If you want to escape this, find shelter. Now, I hope I'm not stretching this too far. If we want to escape the wilds of Satan, there is shelter. And that shelter is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He provides it for us. We can... Oh boy, I don't want to get into choice theology here. We can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, choose to immerse ourselves in the shelter of Jesus. Or we can, by our own stubborn, obdurate hardening of heart, stand out and say, I don't believe it. I'm going to do it on my own way, in my own time. And
Frank Sinatra.
Exactly yeah. right. And suffer the dire consequences.
Now, what's interesting is after Pharaoh does, we know how the story goes, because
right.
this has now repeated itself several times, where he pleads for relief, he gets relief, his heart is hardened again, and then we go on to the next plague. But verse 31 and 32, it's kind of like they stick a farm report right here in the middle of our text. It says, the flax and barley were destroyed, since the barley had headed and the flax was in bloom. The wheat and spelt, however, were not destroyed, because they ripen later.
Isn't that interesting?
What?
Interesting. What I see there is, again, the grace of God. God was not taking everything away from them. He was certainly showing his power, and he was hitting them where it hurts the most, in the belly. But at the same time, he spared some for them. It would come later on.
So as he said, even though he could wipe them out if he wanted to.
Absolutely.
He still doesn't.
He chose not to.
And there's the mercy.
You got it. You got it. God's desire, again, I come back to it time and time again, is that we be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's God's will for us. That's God's desire. It's interesting here about this whole thing with Moses and Pharaoh. He continued in his sin. His repentance had been a sham, a momentary fright that caused him to speak words of remorse just to get Moses to put an end to the plague. If anything at all, now get this, Pharaoh's hardening was worse than ever, if such a thing were still possible.
Hmm. Yeah, so really in this moment, Pharaoh is not really capitulating. He's buying time to figure out how to deal with this Moses yet again.
Sure. Or to get this one to come to an end.
Because maybe next time we'll get lucky and it won't show up.
Okay.
There you go.
Who knows?
The odds are against you, Pharaoh. Have you not noticed?
Now, again, as you said before, we can fast forward. We know what the end result is. And the ultimate result was God's people being set free to journey to his promised land. As we conclude today, let's draw the application with us in Jesus Christ. God, through Jesus Christ, has freed us from Satan, the world, and our own sinful flesh, and is now leading us to the promised land called heaven. Folks, don't reject the goodness of God. Receive it as a gift, a free gift, and celebrate it. Wallow in it and share it with others. And let's see if we can't start exerting more of an influence of the church on culture and society than what has been happening.
Pastor Tom Hendrick serves at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Perryville, Missouri. You should go down and visit him sometime. If you're in the St. Louis area, just a hop, skip, and a jump, a little bit south of here. Maybe even if you're in Memphis, just a little hop, skip, and a jump up Highway 55.
North. That's right.
Head north.
That's
you don't always have to go south. Head north once in a while.
We got plenty of room in our sanctuary for people to sit on Sunday morning.
All the best to you, your congregation, of course, your wife. Enjoy your lunch today.
Thank you.
Thanks for
God's
your company.
God's blessings to you, Roland, and to KFUO.
Thank you.
We thank you for listening to the Bible Study on KFUO Radio, underwritten exclusively by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, now featuring online learning through iTunes U. Visit csl.edu for more information about Concordia Seminary. Stay tuned. Ask the Pastor, coming up next, Hour 2 of the Bible Study on KFUO Radio.
A beautiful mother, a precocious little boy, and a train destined for the deepest darkness they have ever known. 6-year-old Willie Fair is thought to be dead. Instead, he's been captured by a band of gypsies who force him into a life of stealing. The White Gypsy, a story of God's surprising redemption. Coming to Lamplighter Theater on this station.
Saturday mornings at 11 on KFUO Radio.
How would you like to give a gift to KFUO Radio and a gift to your children at the same time? Wondering how that could be possible? Well, it's easy, and our trained staff of gift planning specialists can show you how. Many have benefited from this prudent method of estate planning, and we do all the work to set it up for you. Give us a call and find out how you can benefit KFUO Radio with your legacy gift.
Call Joan Harwell at 800-844-0524. That's 800-844-0524.
We are where you are. KFUO Radio, Clayton, St. Louis. KFUO HD, streaming live at KFUO.org.
AP Radio News. I'm John Belmont. New York City police are questioning a man who they say has implicated himself in the death of 6-year-old Eitan Pates, who disappeared 33 years ago tomorrow. A law enforcement official says the man, who was tied to the case in the past, was picked up late yesterday in New Jersey, but officials caution that hoaxes and false leads are common with each anniversary of the disappearance. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg is thinking of the boy's parents, who still live in the same neighborhood where he went missing on the way to school.
As a father, I just cannot imagine what they've gone through, and I certainly hope that we are one step closer to bringing them some measure of relief.
AP Radio's Tim McGuire has more on Eitan Pates.
His disappearance rattled the neighborhood, and despite flyers plastered across the city, an extensive search by police, and intense media interest, the case has remained unsolved. Later today, New York police are to release further details about the person in custody who is said to have implicated himself in Eitan's disappearance.
Forecasters predict there will be about 9 to 15 storms during this year's Atlantic hurricane season, which starts next week. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has just released its initial outlook. The world's first private cargo spaceship is closing in on its destination. The SpaceX Dragon capsule came as close as comfortable for the moment to the International Space Station this morning. Ground controllers running a series of critical close-up checks to make sure Dragon's navigation and communication system are working properly before NASA commits to docking tomorrow. A Texas man convicted of trying to help Al-Qaeda has been sentenced to 20 years in prison. A federal judge in Houston also ordered Barry Walter Bujols Jr. to pay a $10,000 fine. Day 5 now of deliberations, and experts say it's still too early to read much into what the jury is discussing in the John Edwards campaign corruption trial that's going on in Greensboro, North Carolina. This is AP Radio News.